You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about the 10 commandments of communication. 10.
Commitment. Oh.
Commitment. Communication.
Yes.
But it takes commitment to have communication. So what we've done is we've taken the 10 commandments, these two tablets that were given to us with what we should, the laws that we should be living by, right? The general, these are the things you should follow. And we've changed them around a little bit to focus on communication and how these types of styles of commands can help in our communication with our partner.
Yeah, for everybody.
Everybody, well, yes, they can, but these are specific for our partner. As you see how they're written, it would be a little bit hard. We might be able to talk about how you could use them for others, but this is really for more of a focused partner that you have an intimate relationship with, an intimate bond, deep communication. Here we go. So these were handed to us. These two tablets were handed to us with these 10 commandments, and here they are. You shall have no other relationship before this one. And we're going to go into each of these individually. You shall not idolize the relationship of others. That sounds like that will be interesting.
Yeah.
You should not take your partner's name in vain.
Oh, my. I promise.
Remember your special occasions and keep them protected. We'll talk about that a little bit too, which is making sure that you're establishing the dates, the birthdays, the anniversaries, and that when you commit to something that you stick on those. And what does that have to do with communication? We'll talk about that in a little bit. Honor your father and mother.
Sounds good.
We'll talk about that as well. Do not kill the communication. What does that mean?
I like to see that.
We'll see. You shall not commit communication adultery. This one will be proved to be very interesting, in fact. Thou shall not steal communication. Thou shall not lie about your relationship to others. What does that mean? Thou shall not make the conversation about yourself.
Okay, sounds
interesting.
Good.
Because yes. It is a relationship, so if you have a conversation and communication, it should be about us.
Yes.
It should be about us. What about, talk about us. So you want to go into the first one?
Yes, I'd like to learn.
All right, so the 10 commandments of communication.
Okay.
You'd like to learn?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Show me the first one.
Show you the one. Show you the money. Show you the commandment. Here we are. We were just there, so we need to get to the next one. Let's see if we can do that. Here we go. You shall have no other relationship before this one. What is this to mean? That the relationship, we talk about relationship, it is you and your partner and your family. That is most important. We know that there is a balance, right? Between faith, friends, finances, fitness, fun, all that in your life. There's a balance. But in communication, the most important that has to take precedence is your partner, right? Mm-hmm. So you may really enjoy, and it might be very important to you to attend church 3 days a week. The point of it being is that your partner needs to be a, part of that. They need to be held. They need to feel. Mm-hmm. In order to have good communication, they need to feel that they are most important. Even though they can understand that your faith is very important to you, mm-hmm. that there has to be an understanding that it's not taking the place of a relationship. That faith is important. Friends, also friends, of course, right? So friends, finances, that all these things. We talk about friends. You know, and we've seen shows on TV where people are dating and, oh, I got to go out with my friends. Mm-hmm. And then they come home at 3 a.m. Their partner's like, where have you been? Oh, I've just been hanging out with my friends. And then they start to feel a separation.
Okay, but if you have open communication and you balance, you can have family and friend all together.
You can. You can have all these things. Mm-hmm. But the point is where is the focus so the person feels that you have that deep commitment to them, mm-hmm. to open up the communication. As soon as someone feels that there's a different focus, that something else is more important, it starts to hinder and get in the way of communication. We talk about work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Well, what is that?
So you have to have balance. And I go back to the relationship, family, friends, so everything have one position, and we need to understand that everything can fix.
100% into everything, or 10% into everything.
Yeah.
But the point is the balance of everything. But the balance of that is, should your partner be kept out of your faith? Should your partner be kept away from your friends? Should your partner not know anything about your finances or your position at work? You know, so this is fitness. Should I do all my fitness by myself, or should we do that together? Fun. Mm-hmm. I want to have my own fun. I'm going to go out and have fun. You stay here.
Okay, go ahead.
Again, though, that is in open communication. If you're like, okay, fine, great. But if you're like, well, I'd like to do that with you, then I should figure out a way to do it together. Mm-hmm. But it's communicating what that fun is. Would you like to be part of it or not? You're free to do it, no problem. Or I would like to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And real agreement, no? Agree because you want to complacent your partner.
Sure.
It's something that win to win.
Do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You ever hear that expression, right? Yeah. Oh, I'd like to do this. Okay, do whatever you want to do. Well, I'd like to actually either have you with me on this or have you really support that I do this. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever you want to do. Okay, that's setting up for bad communication, bad relationship. So we'll move on to the next one, which is, you shall not idolize the relationship of others. What do you think that means?
So when you say don't compare, we're talking about that. It's typical the human being try to compare it.
So they want to compare how our relationship is to the other. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I remember we had this conversation when I was a kid. My parents would always compare me, and usually it was my mother, would compare me in school to another person in school. Mm-hmm. Like, this person, oh, they're doing so well in math. And that would make me very angry that I wasn't like them. I wasn't living up to my parents' expectation of this other kid. Mm-hmm. And so I relate that to a relationship. Oh, look at Harry and Sally. They're so much in love. Why can't we be more like them? You say it in a way that it could be taken negatively. Mm-hmm. Like, well, yeah, they do have a good relationship. You don't like our relationship? Rather than we say, let's look at what works in Harry and Sally's relationship.
That is a better way to compare it.
So it's almost like in this book, 90 Day Soulmate, there are chapters and worksheets in there where you look at things. You look at like a past relationship. And in that past relationship, it's like, what did I like about this relationship? What worked in it? And you want to learn what works in somebody else's relationship. You don't want to compare the relationship, but you want to learn what works and what doesn't work, and then see, do we incorporate that? You know what? Harry and Sally on Friday nights, they're able to find a babysitter and they go out on a date. I'd really like to do that too. What do you think?
That's a good idea. We don't have a baby, but we do that.
We'll get a babysitter anyway.
Yes.
Who am I watching? Just stay in the house. Yeah. We want to feel like a couple.
You see?
There you go. We'll hire a babysitter and just ask people in the neighborhood if they need to utilize a babysitter.
Yeah, or increase the economy.
And economy. Move money.
Move money, yeah.
The learning from others, not comparing what works for them, what doesn't work, what we would like, but a discussion, again, not a comparison. Oh, they go out every Friday night. Michael gets a babysitter for Aaron, and therefore they can go out on dates, and I'd like to do that too. And it's all in the presentation and the communication. Yeah.
So the way is how you deliver the message, and you have to be aware that it's no irony, it's no punish. It's some way that you want to put a good idea and share with your partner.
Which goes back to the first law, the first commandment, which is, there shall be no other relationship before this relationship. That this is the best relationship. We make it better by learning from others, from learning what works and what doesn't work, by studying our own relationship, by communicating.
And be open and transparent. Yeah.
Now here, this one. This has a lot of info in it, but you should never take your partner's name in vain. So you may have times when you're in an argument with your partner, you're not seeing eye to eye. Of course.
Yeah.
The challenge is when you speak, if you speak badly to others of your partner, it now starts creating this external influence on your relationship and on you. Later down in here, we talk about, actually it's later on in this whole presentation, but by talking badly about a relationship, you start this slippery slope. You may have somebody who goes, oh, you know, maybe it's just a work pal, whether it's a guy or a gal, doesn't matter, but they commiserate with you. Oh yeah, my relationship's this way too. And then you start almost exaggerating. And we'll talk more about that later in a different one. But it can build a separation by building, and you would talk about neuroplasticity, is that the more you think about something negatively, the more brain cells you grow in that negative state. The more you talk about something positively, the more brain cells you grow around that positive state. It makes those thoughts easier and more fluid.
And also, we have to be careful to not promote fake positive or fake negative, because sometimes it's your view. You remember that we're talking about my view,
right?
Some picture that maybe for you can be positive, for me can be negative, and maybe the same object.
So, true.
So in the moment that you want to speak, but I guess you have to see yourself first and see what you're doing.
See how you are part of we're all responsible. We're both responsible for what we're seeing.
Yeah.
We may take it worse than the other, and the other might say there's no problem, but you're creating the problem together, right?
Yeah, and also it's on a study about the talking bad, never mind your partner, your family. I see one article, the easy story, and also I believe is that the grandmama half a people in the home, and everybody go, and she talking bad with the people.
Okay.
So the people feel bad, but and then somebody say she feel better because she drink is the way they communicate. So sometimes you need to wait for the people drain, and then you go to the next step to figure out what something positive has to be in this speech.
So do people complain without having anything happen?
Mm-hmm.
We just like complaining. I don't want to do anything about it. I just want to complain.
If you analyze how many times we complain also for some, like the not important topic, but is avid for a human being.
So we complain enough to get angry enough to finally do something about it.
Yeah, and also
sometimes.
this is the social media, you see, when you put posting something, everybody start to complain immediately. So that's normal reaction for human beings.
So if I post something positive, people say thumbs up. But if I post something that is a little controversial, then you get people arguing and more people comment on things that they're angry about than like, way to go, good job.
Exactly,
You see the opposite. You're like, why do you think that?
So that is reinforced this topic. So the really human being like to talking bad.
So I want to continue on with this. They do. But the point about never speak badly of your partner to others, just keep that in mind, is that if you have something that's bothering you about your partner, you should actually have conversations with them about it. And it's sometimes really difficult. Mm-hmm. But that's the point, is that the commandments of communication, these 10 commandments of communication, is to really focus on that aspect to make your relationship better within the relationship. It's really hard to make a relationship better outside the relationship.
Yeah.
So, realistic idealization leads to a greater willingness to support one's partner. Believing that so studies have shown that realistic idealization, so we have a great relationship. We have a great relationship. Realistically, we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also say that Lizette is perfect for me, and in our relationship, it's great, and I can idealize it realistically. That not only helps in long-term well-being of a relationship, but it helps us work through things better and easier and have better communication.
Yeah, that's true.
Finally, and I think this is what you're saying, false praise and flattery,
mm-hmm.
and saying things that are absolutely not true and your brain can't wrap around, I know I'm lying when I say this, does nobody any good. They're unrealistic, and it can actually deteriorate, because then maybe your partner doesn't believe you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're the best singer ever in the world. The person has a terrible voice, or whatever. This cooker.
That's wonderful food.
Oh, it's wonderful, and I only make pasta every day. It's true. Let's see what else we have here. We're gonna move on to the next one, but we're gonna move on to the next. I think we're up to the number 4, the fourth commandment of communication. When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim,
right after this. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about the 10 commandments of communication for better relationship.
What is the next?
The best relationship. The absolutely fantastic relationship. The ideal relationship.
Okay, this is the third commandment.
All right, the number 4.
Remember your special occasion.
Yeah, remember your special occasions and keep them protected.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Here we are. Remember your special occasions and keep them protected. Anniversaries, vacations, birthdays, dates, plans. Bless you.
Thank you.
Things your partner tells you. So I headed that in. So the reason for this is that it gives a consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you put a stake in the sand and you say, these are the non-changing parts of our relationship, that we're going to have an anniversary. We're going to every year go on a vacation. We're going to have Christmas together or New Year's or Hanukkah together. We're going to do this around the holiday. We're going to do every Saturday or every Sunday, we're going to have our kids over for dinner. That when you have those special occasions, those dates, those commitments, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you like having,
No. So this is a symbology of you be congruent in your relationship, because if you say we have party and our vacation, or we have this day because it's our anniversary, we have to demonstrate with action and not just talking. So
yes, so it's part of that think, do, act.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, those are two of the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think, act, feel.
Okay.
That you do those three things. You think a certain way, you feel a certain way, and you actually do that same thing. It's congruency. Mm-hmm. It's also cognitive dissonance, which we'll talk about. when those things don't match up, what happens? So, you know, the anniversary thing we talk about is very important. It's important that you have a similar level of, I'll use the word commitment to these things. Mm-hmm. That if you say, you know what, birthdays aren't important. I don't actually want to know that I'm a year older. That's fine. But when it comes to our anniversary, that's really important.
Yeah.
That can be part, you know, I don't want, or holidays, I don't believe in holidays, so that's not important. But what I do believe in is every July we go on a cruise. Mm. And that's what I want to do with you every year. And every year we're planning for that. And we start building a consistent schedule together. So that helps in communication too, because there are two things. When you have these things that you have planned and these dates, you have a common goal. Common goals, we know, are very important to a relationship. And these are foundational things that link us together, link and think together. I think that works. And things your partner tells you. If your partner tells you something, pay attention, listen, remember. That's like a important date. We're going to wrap this one into communication, which is honor your father and mother. So in our book, 90 Day Soulmate, we have a section where you analyze the relationship you had with your mother and father. It can be your present relationship, but it can also be the one you grew up with, because how you grew up in that household with your guardians, with your parents, gives you a sense of how you communicate, how you learn to communicate.
Yeah. So how you grew up in one house and how handled situation and what kind of communication my parents have is the way that I repeating in my life. So it's remarkable right now that we have some age, and you can see picture in the back when you see, okay, my parents, for example, in my home, my dad typically make a meeting table when something is wrong. And we feel like that we are already, when it's a meeting table, something happened. And this is the way that he handled a critical situation. No screen, nobody drama. It's just put the topic, everybody have opinion, and okay, Looking for solution, yeah.
So that's a style of communication that you learned from your father. Mm-hmm. So now if you have something important to talk about, you say, hey, let's have a glass of wine at the kitchen table and talk about this.
And you know that.
Let's have dinner together. Come on. Yeah. Come over here. Come on.
And you start to sweat.
I don't know if my tail's wagging or... Yeah. I need to go out.
I need to go outside.
Let me outside.
Or you go to the bathroom three times before.
Well, I'll be back. So the foundation for communication starts with our family, how we were brought up. When we understand that, and this is why it's so important for communication with our partner, is understanding the style that they learned. I think a couple of shows ago spoke about the couple. The guy grew up in a household where his mother and father were always at peace. They never argued. They never fought. They never discussed things deeply. But they seemed to get along their whole life, and they stayed together their whole life. And then the girlfriend, the wife of the guy, she grew up in a household very, what is it called, animated. The mother and father would get into arguments about stuff. They would talk stuff out. They would, you know, I don't want to do that. Why are you doing that? But they loved each other dearly and deeply and stayed together their whole entire life. Now, that guy and gal get together and they have these models of relationships. He doesn't want to argue with her, and she thinks he doesn't love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She always wants to argue, and he thinks she doesn't love him. If they had this discussion of honoring the father and mother, understanding how each grew up in their household, and understood part of that love language, mm-hmm, you know, the way of how they communicate, then that could be a powerful way to have communication, understand it better.
Yeah. That is exercise. You need to really take a paper and start to figure out what is the program that you have in your home.
Sure.
How you use in your relationship.
These are important, and it is part of our response to communication with our partner. And the bias of how we respond is due to how we were programmed, our personality traits, and our beliefs of how we grew up, the area we grew up, the culture we grew up, the religion we grew up in. All these things change the way we react. So even though we might be this wonderful soul, we have specific ways we act that may be different and are programmed into us, that may be different from our partner. So we may have the same intent, but we have automatic reaction that's been programmed
and
into
so
us.
So you learn that. I'm thinking about you and me. So you have the program from your mama. They make a lot of questions. Sometimes when you approach me, make a three question at the same time. What are you do? This, and I say, okay, I wait. Mm-hmm. And I say, say it again. What is the first question? So you got it. That we are talking about his program. I know be stress. I know he is the way that you talking with me, and I understand, and I have to wait to you recover the program, reprogram, and ask just one question.
So I ask you three questions, but because I have ADHD, I don't pay attention to any of the answers.
Exactly. That's what happened. So I say yes. Yeah. A typical, I say yes for everything.
By the way, this quote diagnosis of ADHD, which is quote the medical doctor saying, oh, you have attention deficit, hyper whatever disorder, is an extreme, not an extreme, it's a range of behavior that people have. And it's how much they focus, how much they don't focus on stuff, how distracted they get. It's in a normal range of behavior. So I say this knowing that it's within a range of normal behavior for people, but I have to pay more attention to being a little bit more concrete, right? Concrete in how I do things.
In my country, we don't have this because we have some tool called shankla.
Pay attention.
And the people pay attention immediately, so it's a program.
So what was interesting, I was watching a little video this morning about it, which was we have children that are taking prescriptions for ADHD because we haven't learned how to teach them in a way that keeps their attention. Like for me, playing a sport, playing a game, getting involved in something that was really intense, super focus, very interested. You know, I had a physics teacher who would give me a really complex problem going, I know you can solve this. And then I'd have to dive in and figure it out. Whereas if I was given something very simple to do, I'm like, the more emotional content, excitement about doing something, the more attention we pay. So going back to this, sorry, that this is a communication style.
What is the topic that show today?
The Ten Commandments of Communication.
Okay, so go to the next one.
So anyway, we will. So this all is part of our upbringing, personality stuff that we've got to understand. So the next one is, do not kill the communication. Do not commit murder on the communication. That sometimes we get angry. Mm-hmm. In the communication, and we have temporary emotions. We talked about emotions and how they are innate and natural for like all creatures to have emotions. Mm-hmm. And these emotions are part of a physical upbringing of us that change how we act and react in certain situations to help us survive. However, emotions which are innate came about well before, at least theoretically from an evolutionary biology sense, came about prior to the use of language. So emotion was used to convey feelings and react in ways that would help us survive prior to a lot of communication. Plus the detail and complex communication that we have today. Today we know so much. We've got the internet, we've got our cell phones, we read books, we hear stuff, whether it's true or untrue. Not true. Fiction, nonfiction, that we learn stuff and this feeds into our emotion, and then emotions get in the way of thinking. They can shut down our normal reaction.
Yeah.
And Why that's important is that when you start feeling too many emotions in communication, you're not going to authentically, transparently communicate.
Yeah.
So what do you do? It's difficult to understand, especially a complex discussion. So something we recommend is delay, but communicate. Hey, I need to take a step away for a moment. Let's take a step back. Don't avoid the communication. You need to tell the person why you're needing to take a step back. I'm really tired right now. I can't really pay the attention. You have, this is so valuable. This conversation is so valuable. I really want to be wide awake and in the right mood in order for us to really address this, because I love you so much and I don't want to react or think or respond incorrectly.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Typical, the people avoid, and I believe I am one, when I feel like the everything is become a stressful because there's so much emotion in the communication, so running away, you know? And that is something that, like that you say, you have to go down, explain, and then maybe take a time, like maybe 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or we talking about tomorrow morning when we are more fresh. So that is a good practice.
It is. So, and that allows us then to have patience, empathy, and, oh, I want to put this, the last one, patience, empathy, and above all, keep interest. Mm-hmm. You need to be interested in the conversation, in what your partner's saying. If you are emotionally charged or tired or distracted and you can't keep that interest, one, the person's going to be offended.
Yeah.
They may lash out. Then the emotions escalate rather than de-escalate, and you get nowhere.
And you can block something deep if you know, show interest for something important to other person. So.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The next commandment, or we'll look at the final couple of commandments when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim,
where we're talking about the 10 commandments of communication in a relationship.
What is the next?
Oh, next, we're going to look at, 7, 8, 9, and 10 now. Mm-hmm. The 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. The 7th commandment is, you shall not commit communication adultery.
Lend me more.
So, in a relationship, adultery means being with somebody else, cheating on your spouse. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about cheating in communication. Mm-hmm. Like the communication that you want with your partner, the communication you want with your partner needs to be with them. By taking that communication away from them and putting it with somebody else, one is you're cheating on the communication. Mm-hmm. You're also putting energy into someone else, which for many reasons can be bad. Let's talk about, first of all, you're now sharing a private matter. And you know what happens as soon as you talk about something in private to somebody who you might want to talk in confidence about, hey, don't tell anyone, but my spouse and I, my wife and I, my girlfriend, my boyfriend and I, we're having this issue. And then all of a sudden they go to their friend, hey, Jim's having an issue I can't tell you about. Guess what it is? You know, and then before you know, everyone in the office knows about this issue and it's affecting your work. Now you're bothered at work about the problem you have at home. You haven't talked about the problem at home. You're more annoyed. And now it's built up even a worse communication at home. So our recommendation is keep communication internal. And for the most part, now we do offer up that a suggestion is, if you need therapy, if you need to talk to somebody whose profession it is to help somebody who has a need to talk, but keep things private and keep things positive.
Or you sign the NDA before.
With all your friends.
Yeah.
Sign this NDA. Oh, this is another. Do not confide in a friend, coworker, or some interested party. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? Mm-hmm. So an interested party is, Lizette, you're at work. You start talking to somebody about having an issue with me not coming to the table to discuss a problem. And, of course, this interested party is interested in you more than just in this conversation. And they're on their best behavior because they're in the first stages of lust. And so they just pay so much attention to you. They have no idea what you're saying, but, oh, they're so supportive. The whole idea is that these people we confide in a private conversation, emotional, that there's a chance they're a friend, there's a chance they're a coworker, there's a chance they're a therapist, but there's also a chance there's somebody who is looking to make that connection with us emotionally when we're most vulnerable, right? Yeah. So you're most vulnerable, you talk to somebody who doesn't really care less, but they're like, this is my way of getting to Lizette. I'm going to listen to her. Hey, why don't we go to lunch and talk more about... Oh, I'm sorry, I touched you. Is it okay if I touch you?
Sure.
hey. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So do not develop a confidant or start an emotional connection. So developing a relationship with somebody you're confiding in and an emotional subject... Well, you're basically bypassing all the other stations, all the other parts of a relationship and going direct to a deep emotional connection on something that's bothering you. And it's one, you're cheating the communication of your own relationship. Instead of putting the effort into your own relationship with your partner, you're putting it outside. Now, that might be your intent. Your intent might be, I want to leave my partner. I'm going to start talking to different people and see who's interested in talking to me.
Yes, depending on the target.
That's whatever your target is. But if your focus is on a better relationship, keep the communication within the relationship. And if you need to talk to someone, highly recommend a licensed professional therapist.
And also, I can see other habit that people doing is the critical topic is open in a party or a group of dinner people. So if I am uncomfortable something about you, I make an irony joke from others. Yeah. So I guess that is also the same way. So you cannot do that. So based upon that you feel something, it's better that you talking at home and not putting the table.
Blurting out something at a dinner party that's a private matter.
Yeah.
So you're undermining communication, you're attacking your partner in an open public setting, and maybe no one actually gets it except your partner, and they know you're doing that on purpose. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then that destroys communication, destroys the connection. How about number 8? Thou shalt not steal communication.
Okay, share the screen.
Oh, we'll share the screen. Thou shalt not steal communication. So using cliches, jargon, or repeating what you heard elsewhere cheapens what you're saying. That I care so little about communication with you, I'm just going to repeat something I heard, like, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, you're using it. A cliche is meaningless. How you actually feel, how you feel about activities that have been going on and how you relate to the other person, that's real. But as soon as you say, Dr. Joyce Purple said this, and then you just repeat something someone else said, and it's not you, you may think it's meaningful, but a lot of times the other person takes it as, you don't care enough to actually tell me how you feel. You're telling me what somebody you heard on the radio, oh, like us, somebody you heard, what someone said. So all we're saying is don't even listen to us in a certain sense, meaning don't repeat what we have to say. Utilize what we have to say to have better communication.
Yes, it is how you interpret the message and how the message is impact to you. And I know that the people also say, oh, my mama told me, The man is doing that, or my father told me, and that when you use this kind of the message from your family, is better to say, okay, my mama told me that, but I believe or I feel that is the way that we need to do. So in some way.
So that's listening to someone else. Now, you can take people's advice that you admire.
Yeah, yeah.
And if the person that you're with understands who those people are that you admire, like your parents, your family, and friends, they may have an understanding of how you approach things, and that may be helpful. But again, utilizing the understanding that when you just repeat, use jargon, you use a cliche, you're cheapening the conversation. It means you're not putting an effort in to actually focus on whatever you want to communicate about. That you're just saying, I'm just going to throw out something I've heard somewhere else. That leads to the part about being authentic. Mm-hmm. Authentic in your feelings and vulnerable in the moment. So sometimes we can avoid authenticity and being vulnerable by just saying something else that someone else says. Because if we just shout what they said or repeat what they said or cry and say what they said, then it's less how we feel. And we can actually say this, you know, we can think this is how we feel. But by utilizing their words, we haven't constructed that carefully out of our own thoughts, deeply thinking about what we want to say. And finally, in this thou shalt not steal communication, when you are transparent about your own, you're creating your own communication, you're being transparent about how you feel. And the more you are transparent with the other, we talk again, neuroplasticity is that when you're telling someone how you feel and you have to struggle to come up with the right words, you are creating new thoughts in your brain with that person there, and you're creating a mechanism where you can communicate better, because your struggle builds. You know, like when you lift weights, mm-hmm. you struggle, you build muscle. When you have to struggle for the right words, the right way of communicating with your partner, you develop those communication muscles.
I like that.
You like that. Okay, let's write that one down. Are we into 9 now? I think we're on 9. 9 is, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie about your relationship to others.
Okay.
So sometimes, what do? We exaggerate to gain sympathy. You know, we wanna tell somebody, you know, we're trying to just get something off our chest. We want somebody to comfort us. We want to get attention. Whatever the case may be, we may start exaggerating the issue. But the exaggeration of the issue creates a lie in our own mind. And soon we start to believe these lies and multiplies our own bias. So, for instance, I've seen people where, you know, they're upset at their partner for, you know, leaving dishes out. And not cutting the lawn, you know, cut the lawn. And then this becomes everywhere they go, he doesn't cut the lawn, she doesn't cut the lawn. It's so awful. Not only they don't cut the lawn, but the garage is a mess. And it becomes this, you know, a little thing, this exaggeration becomes bigger and bigger. Now, you have to decide, do you actually believe the words you're saying more so than what you're seeing and how you feel? So your feelings start moving with your lies. So the more you exaggerate or even lie about something to make somebody, say, have sympathy for you, and you start believing that, you can actually build, and I'm going to use the word hatred. Mm-hmm. You can build hatred for someone by lying to yourself about how they are. You can build dislike.
Yeah.
I'm going to use dislike. Mm-hmm. And in that, this becomes typical, and this is why I put it in here, typical with a confidant, is that when we talk to a confidant, and I'm going to say somebody that we see as a potential romantic outside of the relationship partner, we tend to start exaggerating the problems in our relationship. One, because we want to continue to have that conversation with that person who's showing us sympathy, empathy, that they're being kind to us. And we want them to continue to be kind because we're getting the attention that maybe we're not getting at home with our partner.
Yeah.
So we continue this lying, we expand and exaggerate, and then this cognitive dissonance, this uneasiness about what we're saying, how we're feeling, and what the actual actions and what we're seeing is, moves our feelings towards our false thoughts. And we start moving further away from that person. And as we do that, we create more of a bias to see more things wrong. Because if we expect things wrong, we see more wrong things.
Yeah.
So let's see if we have another here. We have our last one. Our last one is...
Trying to make conversation about yourself.
Yeah, don't make the conversation about yourself. And you should say how you feel. You should be open and talk. So there should be a component, but it should be about you. When I say you, both of you, the us, we. Talk about us as a couple. Let's talk about us as a couple.
Yeah.
Where we have good things that we can work on? Where do we have things that we need to help get fixed? Focus on the we and the goals you have together.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, again, having those common goals, like we talked about, remember the anniversaries, remember the dates, keep them holy, remember them, don't forget them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that those things are things that you work on together, going on a trip together, building a house together, I want to, you know, put our child through school together, I want to save up for a car together, that you have all these things that you do together. This is something I think many people recommend, this next one here, which is action, is that if you focus on, when you focus on the us, it's you focus on the action of what's going on, not the person. You know, you're dirty. Hey, sometimes the dishes are left in the sink. I feel like I have to do the cleanup. I work hard too. Is there a way that we can figure out how to get this stuff done together? You know, if I make you a coffee, can you do this with me? You know, work on the action, not the
reaction.
The feeling of, you know, I feel like you don't care. It's also in the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
You can deliver. You say, oh, you don't love me, or you're like, I would love if you would help me with this. What can I do to help you do this and you feel good about it? You know, the communication. The other piece of this that goes back to honor your father and mother, talk about past relationships, how we grew up, is this one that says admit, that you have to admit to yourself that there are great forces that impact our reaction to each other.
Yeah.
And these forces that impact our reaction are how we grew up, our friends, when we talk outside the relationship, all these things impact. And that's one of the things. This wraps it all up, is that when you want to talk about your partner, and not your partner, but your relationship, you have to understand that all these factors impact your communication. And therefore, the Ten Commandments of communication help you focus on the communication within the relationship and minimize the impact, the negative impact of the outside factors. You want to understand the outside factors. You don't want to create new outside factors. And you want to have better communication within the relationship. And that's therefore why, when you want to co-create your future with your partner, you want to follow the Ten Commandments of communication
with
with Jim and Lizette. So the ten Commandments of communication, we think, is a good way to stay on track with focusing on the relationship, co-creating your future together, and avoiding the biases created by taking bad communication tips from outside your relationship. Thanks for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with
Jim.
Oh, and Lizette. See you next week.
Happy.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.